Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is fabulous, fantastic, phenomenal Friday, April 13th, 2012. It is a great, wonderful day to be alive and enjoying this gift of a brand new day. And I'm excited to be here on this morning and celebrating it with you. And I want to thank you for being on the call, and I want to welcome you for being on the Think and Grow Rich call. This is a call we do every morning, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central. We've done this now for about 2 years, and our typical method of operation is we go through a piece of the book Think and Grow Rich, and then we have an excellent mastermind discussion from the amazing, talented, experienced leadership that we have on this call. And this is a call that helps me grow tremendously, and from speaking with many people on the line, it has the same effect on so many people. And so, again, you're in the right place at the right time. Thank you for being on the call this morning, and I want to challenge you. Make this a part of your daily schedule. This is a time where, you know, you can literally grow tremendously as a person and also have the opportunity to help many other people grow as you plug in and contribute to the discussion that we have here. Now, I'm going to depart today a little bit from our typical method of operation. I was impressed to share something just a little bit different this morning. As I mentioned, every day we go through the book Think and Grow Rich, and we will continue to do this. I won't depart very often, but I was impressed. You know, today's Friday. Friday towards the end of the week is a great day to reflect a little bit, and I ran across a piece of information that is really fascinating and I think is really pertinent and important and can have a deep impact on everybody on the call. It was a few months ago that I actually was working with a gal in the United Kingdom. Her name is Caroline. She's a great lady, and she's, you know, working on getting a blog going and, you know, trying to do some internet stuff. She ran across an article by a nurse who is named Bronnie Ware. And the title of this article is Nurse Reveals the Top 5 Regrets People Make on Their Deathbed. And here's a fascinating thing. Caroline grabbed this article and she posted it on her blog and she shared it on Facebook. And within a matter of about just a few days or less than a week, this article had been shared by 22,100 people. Not only that, but this article had accumulated 457 comments. Folks, this is from sharing this article once on Facebook. And so apparently this article has a lot of impact for a lot of people. This is one of those articles that kind of goes viral. And it's caused me to pay a little bit of attention to it and to ponder upon the message. And this morning I wanted to share the message with you. It's shorter than usual. We'll get through it here in just a few minutes. But again, I think it has a very powerful message, and I'm curious to know what everyone thinks about this message. And it's really a gift if we really understand what this article is trying to teach us. It's going to give us a gift that few people take time in their lives to realize and appreciate. So I want to share this with you. Nurse reveals the top 5 regrets that people make on their deathbed. And this is by Bronnie Ware, who worked for years nursing the dying. For many years, I worked in palliative care. My patients were those who had gone home to die. Some incredibly special times were shared. I was with them for the last 3 to 12 weeks of their lives. People grow a lot when they are faced with their own mortality. I learned never to underestimate someone's capacity for growth. Some changes were phenomenal. Each experienced a variety of emotions as expected: denial, fear, anger, remorse, more denial, and eventually acceptance. Every single patient found their peace before they departed, though, every one of them. When questioned about any regrets they had or anything they would do differently, Common themes surfaced again and again. Here are the most common five. Number one, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. This was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it is easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored even a half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to choices they had made or not made. It is very important to try and honor at least some of your dreams along the way. From the moment that you lose your health, it is too late. Health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. That was number one. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. This came from every male patient that I nursed. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Women also spoke of this regret, but as most were from an older generation, many of the female patients had not been breadwinners. All of the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. By simplifying your lifestyle and making choices along the way, it is possible to not need the income that you think you do. And by creating more space in your life, you become happier and more open to new opportunities, ones more suited to your new lifestyle. Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. As a result, they settled for a mediocre existence and never became who they were fully capable of becoming. Many developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. We cannot control the reactions of others. However, although people may initially react when you change the way you are by speaking honestly, in the end, it raises the relationship to a whole new and healthier level. Either that, or it releases the unhealthy relationship from your life. Either way, you win. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Often, they would not truly realize the full benefits of old friends until their dying weeks, and it was not always possible to track them down. Many had become so caught up in their own lives, and they had let golden friendships slip by over the years. There were many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they are dying. It is common for anyone in a busy lifestyle to let friendships slip by, but when you are faced with your approaching death, the physical details of life fall away. People do want to get their financial affairs in order if possible, but it is not money or status that holds the true importance for them. They want to get things in order more for the benefit of those they love. Usually, though, they are too ill and weary to ever manage this task. It all comes down to love and relationships in the end. That is all that remains in the final weeks, love and relationships. And the last one, I wish that I had let myself be happier. This is a surprisingly common one. Many did not realize until the end that happiness is a choice. They had stayed stuck in old patterns and habits. The so-called comfort of familiarity overflowed into their emotions as well as their physical lives. Fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within, they longed to laugh properly and save and have silliness in their life again. When you are on your deathbed, what others think of you is a long way from your mind. How wonderful to be able to let go and smile again long before you are dying. Life is a choice. It is your life. Choose consciously, choose wisely, choose honestly, choose happiness. Powerful, powerful statements here, my friends, and just recap these top five. Number one, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And number five, I wish that I had let myself be happier. I think these are really important for us to ponder and understand that if we're hearing these at this point in time, there's still plenty of time for us to do some things and not have the regrets that many of these or most of these people on their deathbeds did have at the end of their lives. So I'm going to open up the lines, and I'm anxious to hear the discussion and your thoughts. So here we go.
Good morning, Paul.
Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the majority of people that I'm in touch with, and I do mean the majority, are so busy faking it and pretending they're not going to ever find the joy and happiness they're seeking if they don't stop doing that. And I, you know, oftentimes you hear me get on here and I speak about religion, and that's another place where I see so much fakery and pretense going on. And inside I'm just shaking my head at all of the nonsense and the games, and I don't know who people think they're fooling, but we're only fooling ourselves. If we don't learn to be true to ourselves, we can't be true to anyone else. And so all this trying to act out a role of what we think other people expect of us, you're never going to find your happiness and joy in that way. So what you're speaking of now is so important, and you will probably hear some people come on today and make some mention about the truth of that matter in terms of, you know, just stop all the fakery and the games and the pretense and allow yourself to be the beautiful, extraordinary person that we truly all are. Back to you, Paul.
I love it. And I thought of you, Melvin, in that part of this article where it said that I wish I had been honest and not let pretenses, because you are one of the people, you are the person who has reemphasized that lesson to me over and over again. Be honest, despite the consequences. And there's certainly a lot to be said for that. So appreciate you and your example in my life of that. Appreciate that, Melvin. Star 6, who's next?
Yes, good morning. This is Rick from California. Wow, what
good morning,
an incredible
sir.
Article. Yeah, this is a wonderful article, and Melvin, you know, hit the nail on the head. It's very important. There are two little words there that you that's very important that you make the distinction about your reputation. Reputation really is what other people think of you, but your character, the character is who you are. And this is very important that you identify this. You have to really check yourself almost every day. And make sure you want to say, who are you? You know, and if you have a fight between those two, you're going to have a tug of war between those two every day. And there's no way you can have a fulfilled life, okay? Faking it, going out there and faking it, doing the things that want to do, please society, what they set up for you. You know, there are always people out there who have a little foot out there willing to trip you up, you know, just ready. John Maxwell, whom I consider to be one of the number one leaders out there, he talked about people what they call firefighters. And their job is to find people on fire like us. And their job is to go out and bring out the hose and hose them off and put out the fire and quench your passion. You understand what I'm saying? And so if you're afraid to voice your opinion just because you're worried about what somebody else will think about you and not be who you are, your character, you might as well go jump off a bridge somewhere, because you're not living the full life and you're just a puppet. You know, when somebody come up to you, who you want them to see? You want them to see a frog or a lion or a lioness? Who? You know, when you go out there, I recommend you be the lion or the lioness. That's the attitude you want to have today. That's the attitude you want to take on with you. You have to have that belief. If you're not living knowing that you're special on this earth. I'm going to remind you that 7 billion people on this earth, and you are unique as the Creator himself. You have to have this inside you. Every day, walk out with that kind of attitude. Why not? You got to have this kind of attitude. Right back to you, Paul.
Thanks, Rick. As always, I appreciate those comments. And it sounds like we've been touching on number one and number three. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. And number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Appreciate Melvin. And Rick, Star 6, who's next?
Bill Winch.
Hey, this is Rick.
Bill Winch, good morning.
Good morning. I think it's really great to have, you know, love to, you should be who you want to be and have the courage to express yourself. But I think it's also not right to impose how you feel on other people, thinking that what you believe is the correct way to believe. Like in religion, you know, people should be able to have the religion they want, but to force your religion on other people thinking that this is the only way, you know, that's wrong. So, but I think it's just, you can express yourself all you want, but just don't have that feeling be that this is the way everybody else should feel too. So be honest with yourself, express yourself, but don't make it feel like this is the only way there is. Back to you, Paul.
Excellent, excellent point, my friend. Thank you so much for making that, Bill. And I agree 100%. It is important to express our feelings. It is important to be honest. But at the same time, there always should be an attitude of humility with the understanding that we do not know everything. And but do appreciate that, Bill. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Oh, this is Richard from Dallas.
Hey, Richard, good morning. Great to hear you this morning.
I tell you what, this call has moved me to tears because back in 1995, I attempted suicide because I thought that there was nothing there for me. You know, I always expected somebody to always help me out. You know, it was, you know, me looking for somebody to help me. And thank the Lord that I didn't succeed in that plan, because now I'm a happy father of two kids, a husband to a wonderful wife. And the thing is, it all starts every morning when you look in the mirror, and you have to recognize who you are in that mirror before you can even go out and not only change your life, but your purpose here is to change other people's lives as well. And that's what I do every morning. I wake up, look in the mirror, and just ask myself, okay, who am I going to help out today? You know, who am I going to, you know, help serve and bring somebody to the happiness that I feel. And that's, it all starts with inside of yourself. You know, if you believe in yourself, if you love yourself, then you're able to help other people. But you can't help other people until you help yourself and realize who you are, what your purpose is in life, and how you're going to, you know, serve that purpose, you know, to help others. And, wow, this call, I almost didn't get on this call this morning, and thank God I did, because that just, it moved me beyond recognition. And I hope that people out there who are in the same predicament or have been in that predicament realize that you're here for a purpose. And once you realize that purpose, then, man, you have nowhere to go but up. I mean, it's amazing. And I thank God that I was on this call, and thank you, Paul, for that.
Thank you, Richard. I'm so glad that you made it. And thanks for having the courage to share your experience, because how powerful it is. And I know that many people are inspired by what you've just shared, and who knows, you know, you may have made all the difference in somebody's life and what you just said. So appreciate that. Thanks for being here. Star 6, who's next?
Paul.
Yes, good Paul. Morning.
Good morning. This is Anita Young. I just want to say that I've had two husbands who died. And each time I've reacted differently, but let me tell you, one of the things that I got from that when it happened was took nothing with them. You have earthly things, and if you're hanging on to them, let them go. They don't mean a thing. You cannot take that car with you. You can't take anything with you. So if there's things out there that's more important than your family, your friends, you need to let them go because you're not going to take them with you when you die. And the second thing is, Paul, this is awesome, and I've talked to you about this. My husband was on the first part of the call when you were naming all the different things, and his health is deteriorating very, very fast. And it was so awesome that he just got real quiet, and he was in the bathroom getting ready to go to VA, washing his face, and I was just standing in the hall, and he listened and listened and listened, and that was just the most awesome, awesome. It was just awesome. And I just can't explain to you how negative he is and how it's impacted our lives since he was electrocuted. He's just a different person, and he's been really hard to live with since he got electrocuted. He's just a different person. And I just wanted to share with everybody that you can't take things with you. Be happy. Make the decision to be positive, to be happy, and go out there and love everybody. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Anita. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, Mike Nelson.
Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning. My number two, don't work so hard. My life story is sometimes you try not to and sometimes you're forced to not have as much money as you'd like to have. I had a job for 25 years and thought I had the world by the tail. Making lots of money, had everything I wanted, everything I needed, loving family, still have that, but I don't have a great job anymore. But as you decrease in your income, you learn how to live with things that you don't really need. And that lesson taught me a lot. You don't... Like the Anita just got done saying, you don't need to have all that fluff in your life. As long as you got happiness, that's all that counts. That's all I had to say.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate those thoughts. We're getting a little bit of background noise. If you would, press star 6 to mute your line. If you're not speaking, would appreciate that. And I'll just want to throw one comment here before the next person. It looks like it seems like there's a balance. You know, the first regret is I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself. And she talks about how it's important to honor your dreams and get out there and do the things that you want to do. But then the second regret is I wish I didn't work so hard. So I think the word that comes to my mind that's important is balance. There needs to be a balance. You don't want to sacrifice everything in pursuit of, you know, success or, you know, money. There needs to be a balance there. And that's a word that I've heard from Melvin several times on the call, and I think it's very important to point out here. Star 6, who's next?
Paul Hutchings, Todd Young. Good morning.
Todd Young, good morning, sir.
Very, very profound subject, and I'll have to tell you, I sit here in my chair in my home office, humbled this morning with this subject because I've talked about it before, and it hits home with me in a lot of different ways. But I guess my thoughts are that I'll share this morning is that something definitely to be learned by listening to these five things that people wish for on their deathbed. And for the folks that are listening, right now or listening to this recording, I have to understand and take heed from these things that people are wishing for on their deathbed and take them as a sign that it's time to change your life. And it's time to change your life from the path that you've been on to the path that you wish that you were on. And, why do we do the things that we do, on a daily basis? It's we do what we do on a daily basis, which be our job. The saying is we do what we have to do so we can do what we want to do. And doing what we have to do gives us time. And if you think about, you know, what a lot of people want and wished for in their deathbed, it would relate down to time. And why do we do this business that we're in this industry that we're in? Because it affords us the free time. We call it freedom here in this country. Because the freedom of what we want to do gives us free time. And, you know, having courage, which are words that I pick out of these five things that are wished for in your deathbed, not working so hard. Wish I didn't work so much. Work so hard. Not work so hard, it was work so much. And we have an industry that where we can utilize leverage, utilize success principles, other people's ideas, other people's efforts, other people's money, to start a business that gives us free time, that gives us a chance to work on ourselves so we'll be happier, to do the things that we want to do. Melvin and Rick and everybody else on the phone call here, I mean, every comment is absolutely perfect. I hate leaving names out, and I'm sorry. But, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, sometimes they fake it till they make it. You know, that's a very bold statement. A lot of people don't understand that statement. The fake it till you make it is the faking out of your mind. It's part of Think and Grow Rich. It's part of using thought to get you where you want to go in life, whatever that may be. So that's where the statement, how would you act if? How would I act if I was making $10,000 a month? How would I act if I was the number one money earner in the company I'm working with? Well, you have to act that way right now, and that's part of faking it till you make it in your mind. Well, you know, when you have time to work on yourself and your personal awareness, that helps you with these five things that now that you're aware of what people wish for in your deathbed, work very hard in the business opportunity that you're in and create that time for yourself that you're learning now that everybody on their deathbed, that's the one thing they wish they had. Is that courage to not to listen to other people and have their own thoughts. And, you know, why do people ask opinions? Why do people not take other people's opinions? You know, here's a subject matter that a lot of folks don't think about, but when you were born, you know, there were about, and look this up and Google it, there are anywhere from 50 to 300 million sperm that you beat out to get into this life. So there was the natural champion process of God working right there. And so you've got to realize that when you come into this earth, and, you know, people are born, and they usually die about 17 to 21 years after they're born, and then usually buried about 50 years later. And that deathbed that you're on when you're 17 to 20 years old is your dreams dying and the realization that you got to go out and work and spend all your time in a box working for somebody else. Next thing you know, you retire, you get a watch, and you die. I've never subscribed to that philosophy in my life. I never have, and I was not reared that way either. I was reared by a father that told me to go out and achieve my dreams, don't listen to other people, don't be fearful, always be honest. And the purpose of life is a life of purpose. All there is in life is family, friends, and love. That's it. And life is God's gift to you, and what you do with your life is your gift back to God. And, Paul, those are my thoughts.
I love them, Todd. Thank you. Appreciate you, my friend. Perfect. Well said. Star 6, who's next?
This is Bill Winch again.
Hey, Bill.
I couldn't help but jump in here. I talk to so many people each day, and a lot of times people don't want to get involved in any opportunity is because they're working two jobs, 17 hours a day, time going back and forth to their jobs. They said, I just don't have time to do anything. Well, where did they get that in the first place? A lot of it was because they ran up credit card debts, living in a way that they thought was going to bring them happiness or thought things that they thought they're going to need, whether it was a bigger car, a bigger house, going on vacations they couldn't afford, buying things that they couldn't afford. Now they got themselves into such a hole that they can't even enjoy anything at all because they got themselves so deep in debt. And they don't even want to take the time to try to change because they feel like they need those two jobs just in order to keep themselves afloat. And it's just so sad because I would love to do this. I think this is great, but I just don't have the time to do it. And I just think it's so sad when I hear that, and I just wanted to make that comment. Back to you, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow that by saying that they didn't think in the first place to put themselves in that position, and they're not thinking now. And that's why thinking is so, so, so important, that we start using our heads, that we start thinking, and don't blindly follow. They were blindly following to end up in the situation they're in, and they're continuing to blindly follow. There are many people that want us in that type of situation because it's to their advantage. It's all about the money. So the more I can get you to spend, the more I make. The more debt you get in, the more I make. And so if you don't think and you blindly follow and just go along with the commercials and the nonsense that goes on out here, you're going to find yourself in that situation. And it will continue until the thinking changes. Back to you, Paul.
I've got to share one thing, folks. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I have made some good choices. And one of the good choices that my wife and I made 7-8 years ago, when I read the book, and I've talked about this before, I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. And I actually had made the choice before I read this book, but I remember in the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki talks about having a home at the wrong time is actually a liability, or your own personal home is actually a liability, not an asset like most people think, because it costs you money, it takes away the majority of your income on that mortgage, so on and so forth. So some of you have heard me talk about how when I started my business a couple of years ago, I was living in a 1984 single-wide trailer house that was on my grandfather's property that I didn't own. And some people might have the tendency to think, oh, well, gee, you know, poor, destitute Paul living in a single-wide trailer house. And that's actually what a lot of the people that know me here locally thought, my family, my neighbors. I actually had one lady at church say to my wife, you know, are you guys staying warm in that little trailer house, you know, like pitying us? Folks, that was a choice that my wife and I made. Why? Because we realized that we wanted to have money to give ourselves a little bit more freedom when we were getting started out in marriage. And we realized that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And in order to be an entrepreneur, especially when you're getting started, it might help to not be tied down with a bunch of debt and have a little bit of flexibility and a little bit of money in the bank account. And we've still continued to live that way. You know, we're making a pretty good income, but did we go out and buy a big house? Absolutely not. We're trying to follow this counsel that this wonderful nurse shared with us here, and that Bill pointed out and Melvin pointed out. She says, by simplifying your lifestyle and making conscious choices along the way, it is possible to not need the income that you think you do. And by creating more space in your life, you become happier and more open to new opportunities, ones more suited to your lifestyle. You can really eliminate so much of the stress, give yourself more freedom of choice. And it's not to say that, you know, having a lot of money is not, it's obviously not a bad thing, something we want to do, but definitely be wise in those choices. That's a powerful lesson right there, folks, that if people across the country would understand and apply, oh my goodness, there would be so much more peace and happiness and freedom and ability to step out and do things that, you know, maybe they think they can't do. So appreciate Bill for bringing that point up. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Florida.
Yes. Melvin, go ahead.
I was going to just say, I know there's a young lady about to come out, but I just wanted to say to that I've been there and I've done that. I mean, I was truly there to where you want to be accepted. You want to feel good. And if other people look at you and they kind of like their eyes and they're go open and it's like they're praising you and so you get into this fake it nonsense, and I got this car, and I got this home, and you want to act like and pretend that hey I've arrived, I made it. You're working to impress the Joneses, and you get caught up into that kind of nonsense, which we're actually programmed and led into that. That's why there's so much of it. And until you come to the realization of just being who you are and being real and being yourself and freeing yourself from all that, I know someone was speaking a little earlier about the word freedom. There is nothing more important or valuable than freedom. And what most of us do is we chain ourselves down and we imprison ourselves with all of that kind of nonsense. Very important to get on this call, I think, for people to just to get a greater sense of awareness and put a lot of these things in place and start having some aha moments and realize, ah, that's where I was off. It's just beautiful. Back to you, Paul.
Excellent discussion. Appreciate that, Melvin. Lady from Florida, who's that?
Judy.
Hey, Judy. Good morning.
Good morning. This is I'm brand new. I just joined this week, and this is my very first call. To Think and Grow Rich is something that I read almost 30 years ago. And, you know, there's a lot of things in here that the regrets that I don't regret. I have lived true to myself for a lifetime now, and it's awesome. And I haven't believed in credit for years. It's awesome. You know, but there's one thing I do want is a place where I can get a copy of this article. But also, the one thing that I do each day that makes me happy is that I ask to be generous of heart and thought to all people at all times. That makes me feel good on the inside to know that I can be that generous. And it makes me happy to know that I can be of service to others. I have been a proponent of self-talk for the last 27 years, and teaching people about self-talk, especially getting out of negative aspects and bringing themselves down and limiting themselves. And it's all self-talk. And I did learn this from Think and Grow Rich years and years and years ago. And I really appreciate this call, and I to myself to tune in Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., but I would like the link where I can get a copy of this article. I think it's valuable to have right in front of me for my business.
Judy, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the call. So I can tell you're already contributing and will contribute so much to the group, so thank you. We have a Facebook group. If you go to Facebook.com and in the search bar type in We Are Think and Grow Rich, I just posted a copy of this article there so you can grab that. And well done on living a life of self-talk and not worrying about what other people think and recognizing that you don't have that regret. That is beautiful.
I don't.
And yeah, it's one
society from day one. You know, I've owned houses, and I figure, you know what? It's the bank that owns this house, but they're making me pay the taxes. It's not this American's dream. It's society's dream for this American. And I don't do it. If society says I ought to, well, I do the opposite. I've been doing that since I've been a kid. And it's afforded me a lot of freedom to not be bogged down by a whole bunch of keeping up with the Joneses, doing this, doing that. I mean, my life is simple. I don't own a whole lot. I don't want to. I'm a person that gives my money away. Always have, and probably still, to somebody who needs it more than I do. And for that, I'm grateful for that attitude in my life. And so, you know, there's so much to learn here and so much to be reminded of here, because life does get in the way, and I do forget something. And it's nice to be brought back into what I need from this day forward. You know, to realize new dreams and new attitudes for myself from this day forward. And that's what I look at. You know, someone was talking earlier about, you know, trying to put your beliefs on other people. You know, have my opinions, and I also have a place to sit. That's my belief. I allow other people to have theirs, and I don't try to change anybody's opinion because I want to be allowed mine, so I need to allow yours. And I think of what I want for myself, I'll give to you. And those are awesome ways that I live every day. And because I have that as part of my character, I have room for more and more in-depth attitudes. And so I'm really excited about this. I really am.
Awesome. We're excited with you, Judy. Thanks again for those great comments. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is Rick here. I want to jump in there real quick again. This right here is going to be important. Right now, your automatic recall mechanism called your subconscious is going to be, it's going to be like a radar looking for what I'm saying. It's going to shoot it down real quick. It's something that you're, it's going to throw on your thinking cap, and I think it's a good time to do this. You're going to find it impossible to give without want. I've heard this all the time in a free society. It's impossible for you to give without want. It's a statement I'm making that is going to stir you up. And when you start thinking deeply, you're going to find yourself realizing I'm free to do what I want. Whatever I'm doing is by choice. That means whatever you're doing is what you want to do. Wherever you are right now in your life is because of whom you've listened to. In a free society, you're listening to majority of the time yourself. So you're getting what you want, whatever you like it or not. If you've caught up with yourself, you're merely existing. If you're not seeking to grow, you're merely existing. It really doesn't matter where you are in life. If you're not seeking to grow, you're merely existing. John Wooden said this, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. It's a thought about learning. I repeat it again. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts. And if you want to experience bliss, it's while you're growing, doing things with others, doing things for others, by others. Mother Teresa, she wanted what she was getting, the glory, the feelings she got from giving. It's the most incredible thing. I've seen people out there trying to stop from somebody from giving. You're robbing them of their right to give. That is one of the most wonderful things you can do as a human being, is to receive something from somebody. You don't belittle people try to give you things. I don't want your stuff. You're robbing them of their right to give something. It's an incredible thought. My name is Rick Martin. I love people. I never met a stranger, and I'm a deep thinker. Right back to you, Paul.
I love it, Rick. My name is Paul Hutchings. I love people, and I'm a deep thinker, too. I love that. That's great.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Star 6, who's next? I wish that I had let myself be happier. Another regret that people had on their deathbeds.
Paul, this is Lindy.
Hey, Lindy.
Hey, Lindy.
How are you today?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. The one thing that strikes me in this list is there's two ways to look at at everything in this world. And one is on a spiritual level, the other one is on the physical level. And if you look at this list, it's all about love, because love is the only thing that we can take with us when we leave this earth. You know, there's a lot of illusions out there. They've talked about the big houses, the better car, keeping up with the Joneses. But you don't know where those people are. They may have the most stressful lives because they've gotten themselves into debt to have those things, and it's an illusion. You know, the same thing with the models in the magazines that are airbrushed, and, you know, all these teenagers want to be like them, but there is no perfect person out there. So we all just need to accept ourselves, accept others, and just learn to love ourselves, and so we can love others, because we can't give away anything that we don't possess. That's it. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Great comments, Lindy. Thank you, and you as well. Appreciate those. Star 6, who's next? I just want to touch on real quick, you know, something that Todd said earlier that I think is so, so valid and relevant and true. As you look through these five regrets, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things I realize is that network marketing, as Todd mentioned, network marketing has the potential, the ability, the empowering effect of allowing us and enhancing our ability to not have these regrets at the end of our lives. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. How many people are so scared to talk to the people that they know because they're worried about what they might think? Well, network marketing, ladies and gentlemen, allows us to overcome that and learn to have the courage to live a life true to ourselves, not the lives others expected of me. I wish I didn't work so hard. Again, as Todd pointed out, nowhere else do I see the ability to leverage and build a team and generate an income that will provide absolute time freedom. 3, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. We get on this call every morning. We learn to love ourselves, love who we are. We learn to express ourselves. Stay in touch with my friends. Another powerful, powerful aspect of network marketing. I have met the most amazing, incredibly talented, passionate, positive people. These are the people that are my true friends, that I really, really want to be friends with. And the vast majority of them, if not all of them, have come through this marvelous industry called network marketing. So, and then the last one, I wish I had let myself be happier. This is a message that we are reminded of nearly every day when we get on this Think and Grow Rich call. So network marketing, folks, is a powerful vehicle for enabling us and giving us that gift of, we don't have to be a network marketer, but I'll tell you, it's just harmonious with everything we're talking about today. So, Star 6, who's next?
Say, Paul?
Yes.
I just want to jump on what you just said there, because I hear people always talking about friends and family. My friends and family are not just friends and family based on someone was my brother or sister that makes them my friend or family. I find my friends and family to be that people that think the same way that I think, that are on the same road that I'm in on, that have a love for life, a love for self, that want to do something with their lives, contribute to themselves, contribute to others. I find that to be my family. And so I have a family all over the place, and it's not just family based on what we bought into, because of it was born, or you were born into such a family. And if we can understand that and deal more along that line. And the other thing that you're talking about right now about doing a multi-level marketing or a business of your own, it really is an opportunity for a person to grow, to expand themselves, it's just beautiful to do that. And I find that what many people do is they'll get on this road and they'll jump off of it real quick because it challenges them. It's asking them to be bigger and more than what they are. Back to you, Paul.
I love it. Doc Franz said network marketing is nothing more than personal development with a compensation plan attached to it. and it's so true. In order to make more money in our industry, you are forced to become a better person, and I love it, and I'm honored to be associated with it. So appreciate your thoughts, Melvin. Star 6, who's next? We've got a few minutes left here. Is Doc Fran on the line today? Curious? And if he's not, I'll share his experience. Doc, are you there?
Paul?
Yes, go ahead.
Paul, this is Jane. You just, what was that Facebook?
We are Think and Grow Rich. If you type it in the search bar at the top of Facebook, it should pull right up.
Yeah, but it's got several. It's got like a UK one. And.
You're putting We Are Think and Grow Rich. It's like the picture is a head with a glowing brain.
Okay.
Did you
we
see
Are
it?
Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah, we are Think and Grow Rich. Spaces between all those words.
Okay.
Yep.
Maybe while I'm on here, I'll tell you that I have actually made this call part of my morning ritual. You know, I have a morning ritual, and I do exercise, you know, morning loving and all that good stuff, and eat the right breakfast, and, on the days that I can be here when I'm not working, this is just so nice. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jane, and appreciate that commitment. Someone else was jumping out there. Who was that?
Hi, Paul. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Neville.
Hey, Neville. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. I love Rick's statement. I am Rick Martin. I'm a great thinker. Rick, that was awesome. I'll talk to you later. All right, Melvin just said something a while ago, which is something everyone this morning have said great things. But he said something which you begin to realize is true. I've been in the Lions Club for over 30 years as a volunteer organization of doing things. And it turns out we call ourselves brothers and sisters in the Lions Club. And it so happens that many times that I went into network business, was with the members of the somebody in my Lions group. But we also, as family over the years, have become close families. I mean real close families. Closer to an extent than my own, like Rick said, blood-born family. Because I guess my family is scattered all over the place to an extent. But away from my wife and my children, they are family. You can turn to them, get things done, do what needs to be done, or just to be friends and so forth, and for positive thought. We never come around, you know, like angry, upset, or miserable, and talking about the world is bad or things are... No, life is good, and it's getting better and better every day. I don't care what took... And sometimes we've had tragic things happen, but we mourn together, but it will get up together again. So, yes, your family is not necessarily those who are born of blood, but it can be those that have the same hopes, dreams, attitudes, ideas, and promises for the future. Yes, life is a gift of promise, and we just have to make sure we use that gift and the promises and accept the promises that were made to us and go out and get them. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you again this morning, Paul.
Thank you, Neville. My pleasure, and really appreciate you and your wisdom and insight. Life is a gift with a promise. I love that. Star 6, we've got just a few minutes here. Would love to hear from you. If you have some thoughts you want to share, would love to hear from you.
You were going to tell a Doc Fran story.
Oh, yeah, I'll share that. You know, we talked these first two regrets. Live your dreams, wish I'd live my dreams, and two, I wish I didn't work so hard. And we talked about balance. And when I was on the a cruise a couple of weeks ago with Doc Fran, I learned from I'm not sure if it was Doc that told me this or his wife Nancy, but when Doc started his practice early on in his career, what he got into the habit of doing was working, I think it was 3 or 4 days a week, and then once or twice every single week, all throughout his entire career, he would, as a doctor, he would take the day off and take his wife and his two sons, and they would go boating every week. And I thought that was such a neat example of balance, having work, but then also making sure that you take time now to live, you know, not just work all the time. Take time now to live. The 4-Hour Work Week by Timothy Ferris talks about how people usually work all of their entire lives to finally get to retirement, where they have just a few years to, you know, finally take the vacations and enjoy the things they want to enjoy. And Timothy Ferris, he had an idea, and his idea was, forget that plan. Let's take mini vacations all throughout our lives. Let's take 2 or 3, you know, months off a year. Let's figure out a career like network marketing that we can, you know, do where we can actually take a month off every work 2 months, take a month off. Work 2 months, take a month off, or however you want to do it. But I thought that was that was just a great example from Doc Fran of how, you know, you don't have to work all the time. Take time now during your day, during your week, to enjoy life and have that balance there. That's it. Anyone else want to jump out here? We've got 3 minutes left. If so, great. If not, that's okay too. We can close the call here a couple minutes early. All right, folks. Well, listen, one thing that I will say that Judy mentioned that I think is really important, one of the things that we learn on this call and we're reminded of every day is the importance of having a written plan and also a written set of affirmations, a self-confidence formula, the major definite purpose that Napoleon Hill gives us. And if we come into contact with training or ideas that are powerful and we do not put them in our daily plan or our daily affirmation, odds are we'll forget them. And they will not allow, they will not be allowed to change our lives in the way that we want them to change. Jim Rohn says the human mind, the memory is an amazing thing, but one thing that he's learned over his years is that the memory is something that you can't trust. Write it down. So one suggestion I will give myself and everyone on the call is if there were some of these regrets, these poignant lessons that we learned from this article today that hit us, that, you know, said to us, you know, kind of twisted us in the gut a little bit and said, oh, I need to do better there. My suggestion is to take that and put it in your daily plan, put it in your daily affirmation, start to remind yourself on a daily basis, start to activate that filtering part of your brain where you will not just hear what we're learning today, but actually on a daily basis remind yourself that we need to live lives of courage to ourselves, not worry about what others think of us. Don't work so hard. Have balance. Have the courage to express our feelings. Stay in touch with friends and allow ourselves to be happy on a daily basis. And that is nothing more than a choice right there. We can allow ourselves to be happy at any point in time. So, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your commitment to this call and each other. Thanks for all the valuable contributions and comments that have been made today. Let's get out there and make it a fabulous Friday. It is a gift with a promise, as Neville so eloquently stated, and that promise is we can do, be, have amazing, wonderful things. We can have happiness, health, wealth, wisdom. That all of those things are a promise. We just need to learn the laws and follow the laws and take the action. So let today be a day of action. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.